Podcasting 2.0 for June 20th, 2025, episode 225, Snake Bite. Hey, everybody, it's time once again for Podcasting 2.0. That's right. You want to know what's going on in podcasting? Disregard everything you read or hear about YouTube. None of it's true. We are ready to talk about the latest and the greatest. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that sends out a bat signal when we start. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will source your podcast straight from your feed. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only Mr. Dave Jones.
Having some kind of tooth problem.
Tooth problem?
Yeah, I'm having like a dental crisis here.
Oh, well, you are talking to the right guy. I am, the doctor is in. What can I do for you? Does it hurt?
Yes.
Oh, well, sorry. That sucks.
it hurts, yes.
Which one? Which number is it? 12, 14?
I think it's 9. Number 9.
Is that next to your canine?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I just made up a number. I have no idea what the numbers are.
Which tooth hurts? And what kind of hurt? Does it hurt when you drink different temperature liquids?
No, not really. Okay. The gum is swollen, like right next to where it is.
Periodontitis. Yes.
Periodontitis.
Gum
Did
disease.
You make that up?
No, well, I think it's probably the wrong word, but it's a gum disease.
Gum disease.
Yeah, it can go away. Here's a handy trick. Do you have any cloves in the house?
Cloves.
Do you have a clove?
I have like a clove.
Yes.
You could know, actually, like one of the, not the ground one, but there's just the whole clove.
Yeah, just the whole clove, just that little clove. Yeah, yeah. You can put that right in between the two teeth, the one that hurts, and the pain will subside.
Oh, will that actually cure it or just make the pain
go
away?
No, it'll just make the pain go away. It's not going to cure anything. You're screwed.
I didn't even notice it until like right before the show. I'm like, man, you know, my chew on this side is kind of hurting. And then I feel back there and it's like, the gum's all swollen. I'm like,
okay,
oh,
well,
man.
No, that could just be something that you might have scraped it or.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going with that for now.
Were you eating dog food, biscuits, anything sharp by any chance?
No dog food today.
That's usually how I get it.
By eating dog food.
There's nothing I've given my dog that I haven't tasted myself.
Please tell me that's not true.
No, absolutely. If I'm going to give it to the dog, I'm going to try it myself. She has these really nice, she gets a biscuit at night, one dog biscuit. And it says the latest one is green apples and yogurt. I mean, that stuff's good.
It's so balanced. It's nutritionally balanced.
And my fur is gleaming. Let me tell you.
Those bowel movements are just perfect. They're perfectly formed.
Everything's good. Everything's good.
Moving. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, right off the bat, since I don't have iOS, I believe it's on Android, but I haven't gotten anything from the Sethmeister. How's the True Fans iOS beta?
So I have instant feedback.
Okay.
For Sam. Let me open it up here.
Hey, it opens. It opens. That's a good start.
Step one, open.
Yes.
So I was listening to Pod News Weekly Review this morning on True Fans.
Yes.
And, as I was doing my walk and then, and I got, a ways into it, maybe 10% into it. And then I had to go back to work. And then, so I worked a little bit and then I was going to listen to a little bit more on the way home for lunch to do the show. And I got in the car and it looked like that. It had to like refresh the app. Okay. So it looks to me like this is sort of a wrapper around,
a web
around
thing?
The PWA.
Oh.
Around the PWA, yeah.
You weren't allowed to do that.
I know it's more than that. It's more than that. It's got definite controls and stuff. It's doing native stuff, but I think it's getting its main body of content from the PWA and
okay.
then it's putting its controls natively sort of on top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like the
Like the
app got ejected out of memory, and so it had to reload. And when it came back, it lost my spot. It started the episode over.
Oh, that's one of the hardest things.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where they're at in the troubleshooting process yet.
Yeah, but that's good feedback.
Yeah, so that was my experience this morning. And I'm thinking that maybe it might be that what I did notice was that it was very resilient to like disruptions in network. So I'm thinking they may be downloading the full episode into local storage and playing from there.
Right.
So that's good. But that I did have that hiccup.
Yeah. Yeah, I was testing the Godcaster app. And I was listening. What was that? I think it might have been Pod News. And so my phone died. It ran out of battery. And I kind of let it do that. I'm like, oh, let's see what happens. It came back, and it came back in the same spot exactly where I left off, which is amazing. I'm like, yeah, whoa, yeah. It's hard. It's hard to do. That stuff sucks.
It is, yeah. Especially when you're trying to live a hybrid world between native and web.
Yeah.
Like that, that's a, you know, I don't know the structure of the app. I'm assuming it's using the PWA as sort of like the main workhorse. Mm-hmm. And then you got to like extend it into the native, and that's just such a pain.
Painful.
Yeah.
Hey, do you feel the shift? Did you feel the shift this past week? A shift in the atmosphere, in the podcast atmosphere? Did you feel it? Could you feel it? Could you just like a fresh wind blowing through everything?
Oh, wait, Dreb Scott said he didn't get the bat signal. Did you send the pod ping?
Yeah, let me double check. Yeah, I'm live. Yeah. Oh, wait. Huh. Wait, no. What? Hold on a sec. Favorite feeds, podcasting 2.0, live episodes. Huh. No, I sent it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I see it.
You see it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I changed the GUID. Yeah, it should be there. You got it?
Oh, wait. Never mind. Okay. Real-time feedback is wrong. Dreb then corrected himself and said, "Never mind, he got it."
Oh, okay, thanks. I was about to. I already had a. I already had my shell open. I'm like, I'm gonna get in here. Let
me. You're like, wait, hold on a second. SSH space. The shift. I did feel a shift. Yes.
The shift for me was real. Everybody is like, you know, YouTube isn't all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And it only took one piece of research, which was nice. Thanks again, Signal Hill Insights. And right away, YouTube parades like, well, you know, podcasts that are already successful benefit even more by doing a video on YouTube.
I love how he said in that. By he, I mean the
YouTube dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The you dude.
He said, he was like, you know, people looking from the outside may see podcasts on YouTube as an overnight success. ... I was like, who said that?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm not aware of that being in people's mind.
That's not a thing as far as I know. And then we also got more. And I'm just going to say something to the Spotify folks. I'm sure some are listening who do something somewhere. When you do things like support transcripts from your own hosting company to go out to other apps, but don't support them coming in from RSS feeds that you ingest, you are going to lose. And you're trying to do the same thing that companies have done over and over and over again. Just give up. Give in. Join the party. You know, just don't be short-sighted. The road, the podcasting trail is littered with failures like this.
I think they will be doing that. I read between the lines of James reading between the lines.
Yeah.
And when he talked to the Spotify people and they were basically saying, you know, we have nothing to share at this time. But their response was worded in such a way that's like, yeah, we're doing it, but it's just not going to be right now.
You know, and
it's coming. Yeah,
I think it is.
It's
like a not invented here syndrome. And, you know, it goes right along with, I'll never forget. Let me see. Do we still have that guy? The Spotify dude. Let me see if I have that.
Which one?
It was, I'm looking it up, see if I can find it now. The Spotify.
I remember the Spotify chick. I don't remember the Spotify
there was
dude.
A Spotify. He was, I think he was one of the founders. He was an engineer.
Oh, the guy talking about the black box of the DRM?
Maybe. But if I'm going to paraphrase, he was saying, you know, artists, you should just be happy that we put you on our platform at all.
Yeah, that was that guy. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he was the guy that created the DRM that just powers like all of that stuff.
Mm. Well, that attitude is just not going to be successful for you. I'm not saying it because I care what you do. Well, I do. I do care. I want you to be successful. You spent $1 billion, and that didn't work. On talent and Hollywood people. Hello, Yahoo. And now just be open. Be open. Come on, join. The water's warm because I peed in it, but it's good.
And yellow.
No, it turns green because we got chemicals put in to trace. So did you have anything else from the past week that you wanted to discuss before we bring on our special guest today?
We had... I mean, speaking of Spotify, they're on the apps list now, the podcastapps.com.
Oh, they made it at the bottom, I presume, at the bottom.
They're pretty close to the bottom.
Along with, they only with have Apple.
podcastapps.com. Let's see. Scroll down.
Captain Sweatpants, now we heard you. The thing was, you were so annoying with repeating it over and over again that I just started skipping what you were saying. If you're going to troll, do it right. Now, he said, I kept saying that in the last episode. They're not ingesting podcasts. Yeah, I saw you. We were just basking in the glow for a moment. Basking in the glow. Yeah.
Okay, so Spotify is third from the bottom. Apple is... seventh from the bottom. So they're
Well, and kudos to hosting companies who continue to support some of the important tags. I forget who it was now. James was talking about it. Hosting company added the funding tag. Really the ones that I think are the most critical for almost any app to just have is funding, pod roll, the lit tag. I might even put lit before pod roll, but it's because it's just not that hard to implement, I don't think. You have plenty of examples, plenty of feeds coming through. And then the use of Podping. And if you guys support that, wow, what a different world we'll live in.
We did. Speaking of Podping, there are two requests in my inbox today for Podping tokens. One from a pretty sizable outfit that I think everybody will be glad for.
Oh, you cannot disclose who that is?
I'm sort of hesitant to do that sometimes.
Podstage Secrets! All right.
that's my second podcast.
Next week, Bombshell. Next week, Bombshell. Yes, okay.
That's my side podcast that I do on Saturday nights.
Is it an app or a hosting company? Must be an app, I guess.
It's a hosting company.
Oh, a hosting company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah. Mm. Sort. I mean, yes. It's. Yeah. I'm hesitant to like.
No. Don't. Don't
say it, but spill the beans because I think sometimes they like to have an announcement and do a blog post.
Okay.
Stuff,
all right. Okay. Yes. Good. All right. We don't want to do that. And the other one.
But it'll be a good thing.
And the second one.
It's like a normal. I don't know how big they are. But it's just a, you know,
hosting company.
I guess they are too, but it's it's a more niche hosting platform.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
it's not Libsyn, Captain Swift.
Hey, but that's good.
No,
that's,
if it was Libsyn, I would have definitely said Libsyn. I would have said it.
We would have brought out the party horns.
Yeah, right.
That's good, though, because the more hosting companies support it, the more people won't be able to get around it and will just say, what are we, stupid?
Right. Yeah, no, it's a big, I mean, Podping is a big deal. Anytime anybody jumps on that board, it's great.
Yeah.
That makes everybody's life easier. I thought James had a good phrase, the tyranny of video. I think that's a good way to look at it.
I'm sad I didn't come up with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's accurate. Video.
Well, he had this whole interesting analysis, which we could also do for Podping, which is how much more climate change Spotify is creating by adding video. I thought that was pretty funny. Like, look at the carbon footprint of Apple polling all of these feeds all the time. Or Spotify, for that matter.
You know, Apple may be using Podping already, and we just don't know it.
Good point. Nah, they're still slow.
They wouldn't tell us if they were doing it.
Why
would they?
No, that's not the Jobsian way. No, you want to announce it, make everybody go, oh, Apple, you're the best, and then tell everybody you're holding it wrong.
Well, if they put in lit live support, then we'll know for sure that they're doing Podping.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The two go hand in hand. And man, lit is, people have no idea what they can invigorate. Well, we do, because we're actually seeing it in real time, soon to be released. We're seeing it in real time. What happens when you add lit and podcast and you combine the two? Man, you just gave radio a whole new lease on life.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Well, speaking of lease on life, ladies and gentlemen, our guest for today, he mends bodies and souls. He's the developer of the Castomatic app and the official pod doc. Say hello to Franco Solerio.
Buongiorno a tutti. Hello, hello.
Buongiorno. And auguri, auguri with the new release, the new app. Auguri, auguri.
Thank you.
There it is. That's all my Italian. That's pretty much what I speak with my brother-in-law. Auguri.
But that's good. That's
yes.
Good.
Yeah. Franco, how you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing well.
So happy to have you on and appreciate that you're taking time out of your extremely busy schedule. I know it's late for you. What is it?
No, it's 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Yeah. 8 p.m. Yes, no problem.
Well, shouldn't you be watching the football?
Not today. Right now, we have to stay awake at night because we moved all the football train over to the USA, to your country. They're playing the World Cup for clubs.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes. Is that the FIFA Cup? Is that the FIFA World Cup? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win?
I don't know. I really don't know because it's a little joke because they get a lot of money if they win. But right now, all good European teams are on rest because they just finished their championships.
Yep.
So all the players are either broken, are waiting to go for vacation. it's a little difficult to make, but.
So
my team is Juventus, so I hope they will go well.
It's been a while. It's been a hot minute actually since we've had you on the show. It's been probably a couple of years.
I think so.
It's good to have you back. If you don't mind, just give everybody a little background because you are an actual, I think, functional medicine doctor, if I recall correctly.
Yes, that's good. I work as a doctor in the spare time when I don't do podcasting and when I don't
just a little side gig.
Sorry, yeah. I can't save your life because I'm podcasting. Come on, give me a break. Yeah. I got stuff to do here.
Yeah, and then I have to fix bugs, and then I may fix you.
Do you feel like, let me put it this way. I've always found that some of the best software developers are musicians, particularly bass players for some reason, are really good software developers. Do you feel that when it comes to stomping bugs and stuff, is there a parallel or a crossover between what you do in diagnosing people and healing them?
Yeah, maybe. It's the brain is a mystery. So you never know what skills can come out. And in healing people, you have to keep an open mind. You have to study analytically, and then you have to examine holistically a patient and understand what he wants even before what he's telling on, or the tests are telling you. So maybe musicians are good for that. I know a lot of musicians.
It would be great if people had a log file, you know?
But it doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
Let me just parse the log here. Grep, depression.
Yeah, grep infection. Yeah. Oh, there you go. There's your problem. Yeah.
So, Franco, congratulations, man, on the, I know you just released a new version. I am not an iOS user, but tell us, because you just announced it coincidentally before your appearance on the board meeting. Tell us about the new release.
Oh, new release. Finally, Custom-O-Matic is going lit.
Nice.
It was a long stretch of work, a long time thinking about it, because my app wasn't really supposed to go in that direction, because it was completely on device. I didn't have a server backend like a lot of other apps do. It was a philosophical and a necessity, because I have no experience in coding for servers, but to watch Podpings and alert people of live shows, you need to have some sort of a server component, and so I coded a mini server that where every copy of Custom-O-Matic can register to and say, hello, my master is listening, is subscribed to this podcast and this and this and this, and the microserver looks for Podpings relative to those podcasts, and then sends push notifications to the device that are subscribed to that. So I had to create a whole new component. It's a microserver. I have no experience in managing servers, apart from a small web server for my podcast and little things like that, but right now it's going okay.
So let me pick your brain on this. So your server is sending push notifications to Custom-O-Matic to the Custom-O-Matic apps. How hard was that for you? How hard was it for you to set up that? And how expensive is it? Is it costing you a lot of money each month to run that?
Right now, it's really not expensive, because it runs as a little Docker component. It's a small Linux Docker container who runs this app in Swift, which is really small. It doesn't. In my original idea, it shouldn't have done nothing more than keeping track of the subscriptions of each device, listening for Podpings, and sending notification to the Apple's push notification server that then relays the notification to the devices. So it's very, very lightweight. I had to make a little one more step, because I realized Podpings are much more numerous. We hosting companies send a lot more Podpings than are required, because usually every time the producer of the show modifies something in their backend, even a comma in a description of an episode of 2 years ago, they send a thing. Hey, something updated, check this. And,
and Apple look at me.
Yes. And Apple doesn't like that, because it puts a limit of the number of push notifications that you can send to each device. Mm. And so if I received 10 Podpings for your show, and I try to to send 10 pod pings to the devices, to the user subscribes to your show, then Apple refuses to send many of those. Oh. And so I had to add another step where the server, every time that it receives a pod ping, it has to check for the feed, for their RSS feed, and check if there is actually a new episode or a new live show, and only then send the push notification. So this grew a little more. But right now, it's running on a online node on a $10 a month server.
Nice.
So right now.
Great.
But
that's great.
I've been running that only for test flight users until 1 hour ago. Now I have to check when all the devices that run Customatic will try to subscribe, and obviously running with CISORS, probably everything
goes
through. But I'm here to fix it. And it's not the app on the device doesn't crash if my server overloads. It just be a little slow to receive notification until I fix this. So
wasn't the reason code supposed to help with that, Dave?
Yeah, well, with live, I mean, so you only have it doesn't get super fine grained and tell you what changed. It doesn't do like a diff. It just says, you know, it's either update or live end, you know, this is just telling you kind of like at a high level, whether this is just a feed update or whether this is a live event. So that, I mean, it does help, but you know, if all you're looking for is live, but if you're looking for more than just live, if you're looking for actual feed change signals, like new episodes, then you're going to have to check every one.
And you're doing that, Franco, you're doing new episodes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I'm doing new episodes, but it's important for me to check for updates because updates tell the app that there is a new pending live show that it might not be already live in this moment, but they want to show it on the device so the users know that in a couple hours or in a couple days there will be a new live show.
Right.
So are
you surfacing that? Are you showing the pending episodes?
Yeah.
Nice.
There's a special playlist that appears on the first page of the app when there are live shows scheduled.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really great way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it could. I would like to educate podcasters that do live show to publish the pending episodes with some days in advance, or maybe when they end the previous episode, already to schedule in the RSS feed the new episode, so I can show in the live playlist the listener can see all the live shows that are scheduled in this week, and they can tell no agenda will be on Thursday, and then podcasting 2.0 will be on Friday, just like the schedule for radio or for television.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, when I saw what you were doing, that sort of a temporary playlist that comes and goes, and it always gets your attention because it's right at the top where the playlist section is. It gets your attention that there's something there. And so every time I would open up Castomatic, I see like it's a visual change. So I see, I check it and see which episodes are listed. So like the more days in advance you could get those in there, the better it would be. Cause then you have a heads up.
Yep.
Did you write the server part in Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're using
Swift
like Vapor
on server with the Vapor framework. Yes. Which is really nice. And I vibe coded some of that because.
baby, vibe coding.
it can be useful if you keep the leash short and check what it's doing. It can be an useful resource.
I'm assuming that helped you when you had to go the extra step to create the server-side feed parser because you could reuse your Swift code from Castomatic to get that up faster.
Yes. And it was really simple, that part, because I don't have to parse every little thing and every little quirk of the RSS feeds, but just check for new items and live items and store the last one and the last pub date in the database and check for that every time.
So does that also help? I'm thinking you used to be purely on device. And so does that, now that you have push notifications for all of the pod pings being checked, that I'm assuming that would make the feed updating faster on device, because now you don't have to wait until the next time the app launches to check all the feeds.
Yes. The minute the pod ping comes, I send a silent push notification, which is another kind of notification that is not shown to the user, but only to the app. This is even more strict and limited by Apple. You must not send a lot of those. But when I send a silent push notification, the app refreshes that feed in the background, and so usually when everything goes okay, the app surfaces the new episode in 2 to 5 seconds after the pod ping, and the pod ping usually comes in about 20 seconds from the time that the producer sent it.
That's so cool. That's even better, because I'm assuming that when the push notification comes in, there's a handoff that happens where where iOS wakes up your app, lets it do a thing, and then it goes back to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes. And you so have a little time, but yeah, you have to refresh just one feed. And so if there is no problem with the network connection between the device and the internet, it's usually enough time to download just that RSS feed that the pod ping notification said it was to update.
So are you on a timer once iOS wakes up Castomatic? Is there a time limit before it's going to kill it again?
Yes, but it's classic Apple style. There is a timer, but it can change every time, and you don't know what the timer is.
So, oh, great. That's wonderful. Yeah. Perfect.
That's coding for iOS.
What is the limit of notifications, silent and non-silent, that you can send? Does Apple even tell you what that number is?
No, nobody knows. Apple doesn't tell.
Oh, man. Those guys.
And silent notifications are very limited. I estimate that if I send more than 10 in an hour, I get limited.
Total or per app?
No, per device.
Per device. Per device. Yeah.
Yes. Usual push notifications are not limited, but that they don't wake the app. So they just alert the user. The classic push notification, which is the one I use when a live pod ping comes, just are only received by iOS, and iOS displays the banner to the user. Right. But the app isn't awaken or run until the user clicks on the notification banner.
They're doing that for power management, for all that other stuff they're collecting on you. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And does that cost any money each time you send that, or is that a service you get as a developer?
No, you get it as a developer and as a user. Yes, there's no limit. There's no fee on that.
Nice.
That's good.
Don't give them strange ideas.
Right. Yeah, that's good, because you have, you know, if I was them, I don't blame them really. The same reason we don't I don't publish rate limits for the Podcast Index API. I mean, there are numbers. I know the numbers are right now, but I don't put them out in public, because when you put them out in public, the thing that happens is everybody
runs right up to the limit. Exactly.
Yeah. If you say you can only put out 10 notifications per hour, everybody's going to put out 10 notifications per hour. And if I was them, I would actually go one step further and just change it slightly all the time just to keep everybody on their toes. You know?
Yeah, because
otherwise you'd get flooded. Probably are.
Yeah.
I don't blame them because that, especially when it's a free thing and you're trying to do power management. I mean, that's probably really complicated. I imagine back in the early days, they probably found that out the hard way that, you know, they probably initially didn't have as strict a limits as they do now.
Yeah. And they can't, and then they don't know in advance how many apps each user has installed on the device, and that can change a lot.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That's mobile, you know, mobile app development. So is Castomatic, was it released initially back like pre-Swift and Objective-C, or did you start in the Swift world?
No. This started as my first Swift project.
So that was probably
iOS 7, I think it was, if I remember well.
Wow. Okay, so that's a little far. That's probably 8 or 9 years ago then.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so it's been around. That's been around a while. So you've been through a lot of Apple transition. Is the new iOS 26, is that going to really hurt you?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but I don't like it. I saw all the presentations from Apple, and I think they are pushing a little too much. They really want this Vision Pro thing to succeed. So they want everything transparent and also the Mac and the iOS to push people towards transparent user interfaces.
Well, now I have a question. About liquid glass. Do you think it's gorgeous?
I don't like it really. it's good in the pictures. If you curate the screenshot in where the text is aligned in the good place and you have no superimposition of colors, it can look gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
The minute you move the user interface. This is a beta. This is the first beta. A lot of things can improve. Right now, I really prefer iOS 16, 18, but it was the last one. Yeah.
So you think that all of that is being done for the Apple Vision Pro? That's why they want everyone to move in that direction?
I think so. Because the first user interface that was really transparent is the one from Vision Pro from 2 years ago, and now all other systems are going in that direction. So I think that a strong push is made because of that. I can be wrong, but
that makes sense. On your Podping monitoring, did you write your own Hive Watcher, or are you connecting with an existing piece of software?
No, I'm connecting to the web sub.
Spurlock.
From
thing.
Spurlock, yes. Of course.
Nice.
Yes.
Interop, it's everybody.
Very,
we have interop.
It's very kind. And it makes me. It. I don't know if I could do the same thing without that service, because all the libraries for Podping and for Hive, which for the Hive blockchain, which Podping relies on, are all on Python, and there's nothing for Swift. So I would have had to work on a very low level, and with that I have to do WebSockets, but WebSockets are not that difficult.
You know, that really that's something that needs to change. There needs to be that's a real deficiency that I'm seeing, is we need more libraries for other languages for Podping.
That might help. Yes. The adoption. Yes.
Because Python's universal.
Python is my jam, Dave.
it is your
my
jam.
Vibe jam, baby.
But it is for servers, for mobile devices. It's not.
No, I got you there. Yeah.
When Python is universal on almost every Linux and Mac system installed. But when you actually have to run it as a server service, you need to know what you're doing. And people who are not fluent in the Python world, that's going to be a challenge for them because as soon as you get into, and I've been down this road before, and Alex can vouch for my utter confusion when it comes to things that are Python related. As soon as you get into running Python software as a server side service, you have to, you immediately get into things like poetry and UV. You get into the world of all the Python frameworks and sort of supporting software, and you have to know it's the same thing as when you run like a Node.js application. Yes, you can just install Node, but there's a lot of things expect you to run like Node ENV and these other supporting packages that make versioning better and have the package and do package management. So it's a little different. If we had a set of libraries that were just native to all the different languages, that would be pretty helpful. And I'm thinking like Swift, PHP, Rust, just hit all the high points. I think there was a JavaScript library that Stephen Crater wrote, I believe. I think he was the writer of it, but I think it drifted. The last person I know that tried to use it said that it was not working well for them. I think that was Jason over at Podcast Guru. So I don't know. Anyway, I think it's a deficiency, and hearing you talk about it, I think we should focus a little bit of time on that if we can.
Yeah.
So what now about running Python on a server?
We need more COBOL.
I got to tell you, man, I'm running everything as a service. Systemd. Go for it.
Oh yeah. I think the issue comes in with, how do you keep your version of Python?
Yeah, when you update the system, everything.
Right. No, I just don't update. I'm on 3.12, and that's it. And Python's screaming at me. This is going to be deprecated in the next release. I don't care. I'm not upgrading. It works. We're stuck in this version. It's good to go.
It's sort of like you put your Python in a jail.
I put my Python a lot of places, but not in a jail. Woo, baby, he's awake.
Oh, but it's like you jail the environment so that when this copy of Python runs, it always has the same environment, right. And that can be pretty important depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, especially with your import your modules and what you have. I have to run everything in an environment.
Yeah. What is it using? Is it UV?
Venv.
Venv? Okay.
That's virtual environment? I'm not sure what that is. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, so that's where it gets into. Yeah.
And versioning is like -June 8. Working copy. That's final. Oh man, LS yeah. LS *.final. Okay.
I always love it when there's like three of those. There's like -final. Because
Oh, that makes me feel good. I'm not the only one. Yeah. Final working really good. Good, all uppercase. Yeah, this is the one. Yeah. This is the one. .py
-last.
Yeah. Last. Oh, feels good to have engineering humor in me. Oh, it's good. It's good. Never expected that.
Do you find that the Vapor ecosystem is decent? Because I've worried about that world because there's so little of Swift on the server.
there is enough that goes into the training data for LLMs, and so if you ask ChatGPT or Windsurf, they can answer enough, much more than liquid soap or stuff like that. There is a good community. There's a Discord server where you can ask for help, and it wasn't the hard part for me to move from classic iOS SDK to Vapor to run on the server. It was a very smooth experience.
Okay, good. Now that you've crossed the Rhine, you know, are you, and you have a server now, as there's other stuff that you can do. That's sort of like a mental shift for you, right?
Yeah, but I want to keep the most of the functionality on the device for a lot of good reasons, at least for me. I want to, the Customatic is a one man band. I want to go on vacation and and I don't want to be awakened by any mail saying my server is down and nobody can use the app. If the service goes down, I call it Castaping. If Castaping goes down, there are no notifications for live episodes, but everything else in the app continues to work, and hopefully the users are not so annoyed that I have to stop my vacations and get back to work.
Right. You don't want to have to stop the vacation to reboot a server. No, that's not, of course, never a good idea.
Boy, I wish for those days, huh, Dave?
I think the last time that was true for me, I was probably
18.
1996. I remember it fondly. Yeah.
Do you remember the pagers, the days of the pagers? And then if something would go down, everyone would get a ping. And then in the morning, your battery would be empty because something just went down. It was all night. Your pager was vibrating. You didn't hear it. And just this horrible, horrible mess of page messages.
I get the same from human beings, from patients. So
yes. doctor, help me. Help me. Oh, yes. Oh, I can understand.
Reboot, please.
Reboot. Doc, can you reboot me? That's great. That's great. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is wallets.
Wallets, okay.
Yes. Oh, I
need to ask you some a little thing about...
Sure. Go ahead.
Let's talk about wallets first.
Well, why don't you go first? You're the guest, please.
Okay. It's a little thing. I would like you to fix podcasting.
At your service. How can I be of service to you, doctor?
Okay. No, there's an issue that I keep getting into from different direction, and it's the fact that podcasts are not identified by their RSS feed. When I get a Podping notification from Podping, I receive the Podping and it has an RSS feed for that. Mm-hmm. So I can send all the notifications I need to all the users that are subscribed to that RSS feed. Mm-hmm. But there might be, and there are, a lot of users that are subscribed to that show with another RSS feed. The classic example
is me. No agenda. I know exactly what the problem is. Yeah.
But or just sometimes they put the address with the keyboard right in the app, so they put it with HTTP. Sometimes the correct address is HTTPS.
Yeah.
And so it's different, so I have to store the RSS feed, the URL without the scheme, but it's not like that. For example, a lot of some users are subscribed to Podcasting 2.0 via the IPFS address of the RSS feed.
Yes.
And I can't send them the notification, because the notification says that there's a new episode or a live episodes for podcastindex.org/pc20.xml and not for the IPFS. And so this fact that RSS feeds were invented for blog posts, and there was no need to uniquely identify one blog post between different URLs, because the people just received those and read those. With podcasting, it's getting more and more important for other services like Podping to identify that one podcast, that there might be 10 different addresses that all point to the same podcast. And so the GUID is the right idea. It is in the specification, but not everybody uses that. And right. Podping doesn't specify the GUID of the podcast. And I think that might be useful, either or specify the GUID of the podcast in the Podping, or maybe improve the Podping tag. It's called uses Podping, I think, but nobody uses that, and I think it should be mandatory. And specify over there what is the canonical URL that will be advertised in the Podpings.
I yield the rest of my time to the distinguished gentleman from Alabama.
I feel your pain. I know and I understand the problem exactly. I think, my first inclination is to fix this. Let's step back for a second, because the same way that you have an ideology of keeping the app on the device being self-sufficient, the Castomatic needs to be able to function by itself without having to need a server. If it has a server, great, but it shouldn't have to have one. And it's sort of the same thing with the index. Podcasting 2.0 features need to be able to function without the index. We can't implement new functionality and new features into podcasting that depend on our API or the podcast index to exist. And so the idea behind the GUID was that if the GUIDs are in there, if the GUIDs are in the feed, then we can all track them over time in our own databases. And we don't have to depend on some sort of central repository of like a central resolver. But the index has become sort of a central resolver because it was sort of a bootstrap situation where, not a lot of feeds in the beginning had GUIDs. And so we sort of created them all. And so we've kind of ended up in this position where we've ended up in a position that I don't like very much. A position where we are sort of the central resolver for GUIDs, but that's not the way it's supposed to actually work. And I'm not entirely clear how to kind of rewind out of that, or unwind that problem. But I guess my first, taking one thing you said, GUIDs in the Podpings, that makes sense. So, well, let's talk about GUIDs for a second. Like another idea behind the GUID, not just having decentralized identifiers that we would all stay in, in where all the directories could stay in sync with each other. It's not just that. It's also that if you're going to reference an item somewhere else. So if you think of RSS podcasting as a directory itself, like without a database, you just think of, okay, every record can be identified by a key. Every episode can be identified. Every episode is an object. And that object can be addressed by a key, and that key consists of a URL and an episode GUID, a feed URL and an episode GUID. Well, that's fine, but then we all know the problem is the URLs change. And so once the URLs change, if somebody moves from one hosting company to another, then now that link is broken. It's sort of like an RSS, sort of like a website link when the blog. A link to a blog article and the blog changes its domain name. So the GUID is supposed to take the place of the feed URL and say, okay, now I have a consistent value that'll never change. And that GUID relates back to some feed and I can follow the redirects in my own directory and always know what that thing is. So the problem that we run into consistently, and this is something that I was meant to talk about last week, but I know has caused people problems, lots of people problems with the podcast index itself, is that we try to stay in sync with Apple's directory. If we didn't do that, if I didn't care about staying in sync with Apple, then what I would do is just always follow 300 level redirects and everything would just always update. We would always have the most current URL for every podcast. But because I've always taken this stance of staying in sync with Apple, with Apple's directory, sometimes people will move from one hosting company to another, but then they don't go into Apple Podcasts Connect and change their URL there. So Apple's directory will say that it's the old URL for sometimes weeks or months afterwards, even though they've actually changed to a new feed URL. And it's gotten to be such a problem that I'm really considering just stopping that and letting our directory drift away from Apple's directory. Because I really want for someone who looks up an iTunes ID on Apple and us, I want it to always return the same URL for that iTunes ID. That's what I want. That, but having to keep that in place is causing these other problems. And I guess I'm just not sure that it's worth it anymore. Because do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, right now it's already not working, because if you look for podcasting 2.0 on Podcast Index, you get the feeds.podcastindex.org address. If you look on the iTunes API, you get the mp3s.nationals.com address.
Let me just explain two things there. One is, I think we still have a temporary redirect, and that's my mistake. I should change that to
it's
a permanent. It's permanent.
It's permanent. And but Apple doesn't.
Right. Well, the second thing is, we didn't add that to Apple's database. Okay. Someone else did, which is, of course, should never happen. But it did, and we don't know who did it, but someone added that. But I think just by saying on this podcast that needs to be changed in Apple's index, it just might happen.
Okay. It might.
It might. And,
okay.
But, you know, at this point, I'm not so sure that it matters that much if, and by the way, I'm laying all this out as groundwork because I want to actually answer your question, but I want to make sure we all understand the full extent of all the problems. But I'm starting to wonder you know, it may not matter that much if these things drift. Because the other problem, what I mean is if our directory drifts away from Apple's directory, because the other problem is when we have one URL and Apple has a different one and we stay in sync with Apple, then if somebody adds the same podcast again with the new URL, now there's a duplicate in the direct, in yeah. in the podcast index. And so, right. And so like we actually had, I have multiple deduplication scripts that run 24/7 that are trying to fix this problem. And the Achilles heel is always the iTunes directory. Because the first thing I do when somebody, when I'm checking a new podcast that gets added is I look to see if that podcast is in iTunes. And if it does it have an ID that matches an ID we already have? And if that hit matches, then it deduplicates it. But it's always going to be pointing to the wrong place. So we have, there's this discrepancy because we are, you know, and that I just think it's okay. So if we solve this problem, if I just say, okay, forget it, the iTunes IDs, they're just going to be what they are. I can't keep them in sync. Then maybe that will make this other process easier where we could do something like, do a lookup when the pod pings come through to get the GUID and insert the GUID along with the pod ping. I think that may help, you know?
Yes, but it makes it a little more reliant on the index if I have to look up for the GUID on the index.
Right. Or we could deduplicate the URL when the pod ping, if the pod ping comes through, we could deduplicate it there and make sure that we always give you the most recent redirect URL instead of finding the thing that matches Apple.
I'm not sure that this solves every issue, because if on the app the user is subscribed to the IPFS address, for example, I don't know how Customatic can listen to podpings for another feed URL. You know, this disambiguation can happen. I think it can happen only on their RSS feed, because if Customatic knows you are subscribed to ipfs.com, blah blah blah, the app can ask the index, what's the GUID for ipfs.org podcasting 2.0, and the index doesn't know about it because it stores the correct URL. But the easiest thing, from a technical standpoint, should be to express the canonical feed URL in the RSS feed, which is a thing that Atom used to do. There's a Atom link.
The old Atom Wars. Yeah, I remember those.
Yes, that's the only thing that they did good. Simply, every RSS feed specified, hey, I don't know which URL you downloaded this RSS feed from, but you have to look for updates on this one, which is the canonical feed URL that my publisher chose. And you should look for that, and you should look for podpings that express this canonical feed URL independently from where you downloaded this feed URL. And that could be could solve it, or
I don't know if it does solve it though, Franco. Is so here, let me give you this scenario. This look, here's another thing that can happen, and that does happen, is I have a podcast on Buzzsprout, and the podcast, and I continue to have that podcast on Buzzsprout, even though I've moved it over to RSS.com. And now I have two identical podcasts, one on Buzzsprout, one on RSS.com. I stopped updating the Buzzsprout podcast, and now I'm putting new episodes in the RSS.com podcast. Yeah. But in the scenario with a canonical URL link in the feed, they're both going to point to themselves.
Yes.
And so now you still have two double.
But those are two podcasts.
Right. Right. Well, sometimes they actually continue updating both.
Yeah. And they should be. I think that those should be considered two different podcasts.
Right. Yeah. And they'll have two separate iTunes IDs, even though they're actually identical and they send content and everything.
They are on different servers. They can be updated independently one from the other, and they should be considered two different ones. But if you have one file, one original feed with a lot of addresses, but they all point to one file, one RSS feed, those must be considered one podcast.
Well, yeah, that's Daniel's saying the solution is to redirect the old feed URL. I understand that, Daniel,
but that doesn't fix the IPFS issue.
Right, it doesn't fix the IPFS issue, and it doesn't fix the issue where people don't update Apple their Apple Podcast Connect URL, and then sometimes they'll have two separate iTunes IDs pointing to the same feed URL, It's so much that what I'm saying, I'm saying, Daniel, that I agree with you that if we stop trying to stay in sync with Apple's directory, then we will just always follow the redirects and never check with Apple to make sure that it's okay.
But that can be an opportunity. We can be better than the Apple's directory and fixing these kind of things. And maybe more apps will use the index instead of iTunes API because they are more reliable. I don't know.
Well, you may be right on that too. You may be right on that. That if the standard is moving hosts means doing a HTTP redirect, then having that be the only thing, the only way to solve the problem, or the only way that the index considers solving the problem, that's more true to what RSS podcasting is. I totally understand the problem. We're going to have to figure out how to fix this.
I know I put you in a difficult position.
No, we've needed to talk about it for a while, and there is a solution. We just have to find it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure. I think something like a unique identifier that follows a podcast everywhere, from host to host, from location to location, is the way to do it. I just don't want there to have to be a central resolver.
Yeah. And I agree with that.
That makes it hard.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So I think we'll figure it out. The IPFS thing is a good point. I don't know how. Yeah. That's a tricky one. At that point, because it really it's not a separate feed at that point. It's really just sort of passing it through some other. It's almost like a proxy.
Yeah. Well, that solved nothing.
No, we're better than we were.
We're more aware of the problem. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's aware. It's a good one, though. Awareness month.
That's
podcast.
It's a good one to bring up, though. That's for sure. Appreciate that. Thanks. Definitely something we ought to work on.
Well, Daniel's saying people don't need to update their Apple Podcast Connect URL. Well, if that's the case, well, then why are they different sometimes? There are definitely feeds in Apple's directory that that do not have the current URL that followed the redirect.
Yeah, we've seen that for sure.
Well, I mean, ours is a perfect example. Ours is a redirect.
Yes.
You know, and it's still got it has the non-redirected URL in Apple's directory. So
yeah.
Something is not always, that can't always be the case. Now, it may be that there has to be a redirect and an iTunes new feed URL tag. But our Podcasting 2.0 feed has been in there forever. I mean, it's been in there for like 3 years now. And it's always been the, you know, a redirect to this other feed. So I don't know. We'll just have to figure it out. I don't want to get too bogged down in the weeds, but
yeah.
I mean, something is not right because I see this problem too often for it to be as simple as they're always following redirects. I just don't think they are. I think there are certain scenarios where for some reason that doesn't happen. And I don't know what those conditions are. If I'm wrong, they don't know.
They don't tell you.
Yeah, they don't tell you. Yeah. If I'm wrong, that's fine. And maybe I'm just misunderstanding what I'm seeing, but I'm 99.9% sure because I see the problems happen in real time.
Yeah. I think they just don't follow the redirects. They just look for the new feed URL.
There, according to Daniel J. Lewis, Podcasting 2.0 is using the feeds.podcastindex.org/pc20.xml feed. So maybe that just got updated while we were talking.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's possible.
It's possible. Yeah. We'll have to investigate to see what is happening because it's something, there is an inconsistency here that I do not understand. And I don't know. My gut feeling is that there are certain conditions, that are not, how do I need to say this? Knowing not just Apple, but knowing how lots of these things work, including our directory, everybody's directory has a set of conditions they're looking for to know when to make a change and when not to. This is very similar to any sort of like trying to keep things in sync. Dropbox, OneDrive, all these cloud storage things that sync between multiple computers. It's a difficult problem because whenever you say there's not one source of truth, there could be multiples. Now you have to have a set of conditions where if this and this and this are true, but not this other thing is true, then make a change. But if these other set of things, you know, if those things obtain, well, then don't change anything. And as soon as you start adding all these conditions, it's always going to be possible that there could be a set of conditions that are being met that are non-obvious where a change is not being made when you think it should. So we just have to figure out what that is. But I am thinking that we probably should just stop trying to be so obsessive about keeping the directories in sync. Because if we have an iTunes ID and somebody, you know, we sort of mimic the Apple API as well so that people can use us as a fallback if iTunes API lookup goes down. And, you know, that, I guess, if we're at the point where we're being used as a fallback and you do an iTunes ID lookup with us, I guess I need to start looking at it as well. You just kind of get what you get at that point. You know, you're going to get, you're already on plan B. So we can't guarantee, yeah. You know, we can't guarantee purity at that point.
Can we just take 5 minutes on wallets? Because I know, Dave, you're going to be limited in your time pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Wallets.
Yes.
go out.
They're often broken now.
They are all that. This is very difficult. Yes, but I think it's a point of transition.
Where's your head at right now? Because I know the biggest problem is because your standalone app, and even worse, there is no Strike or any LN wallet type service available in Italy.
Yeah. Yes, just like that.
Why is it not available in Italy?
I don't know. Strike continues to send tweets saying that Strike is available all over Europe, but it is not, because in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, I don't know, some other countries is not available. In Brazil, in Japan, it's not available. So I sent them tweets. I sent them an email. Nobody answers. No. And so I really don't know what they're doing.
Can you hang in there though? Are you okay for now?
Yeah, my customatic works okay with Albi. It needs a little extra step to install Albi Hub, which is really really not difficult, because it can run on a server. It can run on your PC if you leave it running and connected to the internet.
Yeah.
Or you can pay, I think, $8 a month or $10 a month if you are desperate and the guys in Albi will host it for you.
Right.
So the Customatic runs okay, and to go the way of value for value, the users need to do this extra step. I have to say that when Albi went that way and went from the hosted wallets to Albi Hub, I didn't see a big decline in the wallet users.
Oh, good.
On Customatic.
Good, good. And that's just because Dave is using it for everything.
Well, I would like it to be easier and to be automatic. What I don't want to do is host the wallets myself. I will never do that.
No, you don't want to do that. What wallets? I'm not talking about podcast stuff anymore. Like, if I'm an Italian and I want to just have a Bitcoin wallet and buy some Bitcoin, what do you use?
I don't know that. There are some, but I'm good with Albi for my uses. So sometimes I check other things. That there's a Wallet of Satoshi, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
There are many. There are some apps like Blue Wallet that can interface with a lot of different service. Or you can do maybe some hosted service. I think it's not Coinbase. It's the other one, with the one with the black UI.
Black UI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the black website.
Kraken or
Black Lives Matter?
Kraken. Okay. I think Kraken can host Lightning wallets, but they don't have APIs for other apps. So if you want to send sats on the Lightning.
And Coinbase, do you have Coinbase in Italy?
Yes, but I don't think they do.
I think they have a Lightning API. I could be wrong.
Well, it says Kraken.com/Italy. It says Kraken is committed to Italy. There you go.
There you go. With football.
We have Kraken in Italy, yes. But I don't know if... Yeah. I don't think they have APIs for developers. Mm. I've been looking into NWC, which is Nostr Wallet Connect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And,
it's a little nice API. You need to do WebSockets, which is not so so easy on a mobile device, but you can do it. And that might make it more portable, because if many wallets implement that, the user can pick the wallet
they want to use. Yeah.
Right now, the Coinos is one that we have in Italy, and you know it.
Yes,
it
I do.
It can work with Nostr Wallet Connect.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the double jump and connect Coinos to Albi Hub and Albi Hub to whatever you want. Wow. But Coinos doesn't support, but they don't support KeySend.
Ah, that's right. Too bad.
Okay.
That's too bad.
Yes.
And I think that's where, I think that's really the core of what's really wrong at this point, is that everything is going to wallets. Everything is transitioning to wallets that don't support KeySend. Right. So
that's exactly it.
Yeah. I don't know, because I don't have a lot of experience with a lot of wallets, because there aren't that many here in Italy. But
yeah, Bolt 11 is, you know, Bolt 11 invoices are, or the LN URL. That's just where we're going to end up.
Yep.
And you know that's.
We need to standardize the justice system to send the all the metadata we need for value to work.
Yeah,
right.
Once we have an easy way to implement that.
Well, all the Fountain guys are using the Nostr protocol, not Nostr, the network itself, but that seems to be working pretty well for them.
Oh, I think they're using the Nostr, a Nostr relay, maybe a private relay.
Yeah, it's a private relay. Sure. It's a private relay. Exactly.
It's not the most, it's not the easiest thing to do for a developer, because you need to host.
I'll send you a Python script. It'll be fine.
Okay. Well, but I can vibe code one in a couple of minutes. maybe an endpoint.
Yes, I'll give you an endpoint.
API, and everybody can.
Yes, a non-bearer token authorization. Yep, all of that, no problem. I'm well versed now. we got to thank some people. Franco, can you hold on for a couple more minutes?
Of course.
All right.
Yes.
We didn't have a lot of boostage coming in because everyone was enthralled, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
1,025 sats from Salty Crayon, who says, more wallets to be continued in the pipe. All right. Dreb Scott with a mini Striper boost, 7777. Pre-show boost. Just realized I never posted the chapters for Podcasting 2.0 last week. Uh-oh. Just published now. Sorry about that. Life has been giving me the 1-2 punch quite a bit lately. Luckily, I'm pretty good at the duck, dive, and dodging thing, and things are on the upswing. On a positive note, I'm now down down 19 pounds on my journey to drop 45 pounds. All right.
Woo-hoo.
Go podcasting. Way to go, brother.
You're making Franco the doctor very happy about your...
that's good, man. Don't worry about it. That's the beauty of cloud-based chapters. You do it when you get to it. It's all good.
Yep.
And a mini Striper boost from Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster. He says, I believe that I've gotten boost to work again for the LifeSpring Audio Bible Rewind. That's right. We saw he had a problem with the handy little alert icons on the podcast index. Thanks to Anonymous for their boostagram on episode 224 of The Boardroom, spurring me on to fix it, and to Adam for pointing me in the right direction on fixing the problem. Yes, we here at Podcast Index aim to please all the time. Let the boost begin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Yes, I hope this email finds you well. Definitely.
Yeah.
And delimiter time already.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got... while you were talking, I got an email from True Fans saying the new version is ready on test flight in iOS.
Ooh.
And it says what to test. And in the what to test section, it says nothing new. So I'm not sure exactly what lever Sam is pulling over there, but
he did something. He pulled
something
lever.
Got pulled. Yeah,
the lever you have pulled is not active. Name the podcast. Name the podcast.
The lever you have pulled is not. I have no idea.
This week in Bitcoin.
Oh, it's
one of his.
It's
jingles.
Not in my rotation. It's not in my rotation.
Oh, it's heavy rotation for me, brother. Heavy rotation.
I gotta put it on there. Yeah, I gotta get in there.
Oh, hold on. There's Sam. Sam boosting in with 777. What a nice and funny man Franco is. Well, there you go. Well, he's in the split, so he saw that message himself. Beautiful.
We got one baller boost, and that is from Buzzsprout. $1,000.
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blades on the Impala!
Thank you very much, boys and girls of Buzzsprout. We highly appreciate your support of the project. That is very, very kind of you. Every month do it, Dave. Every month.
Is it just me, or have they been kind of quiet lately?
Oh, they're coming. I'm sure they're in a 6-week sprint and something's coming out and we're all going to be blown away.
Yeah, they're going to pop. They're just going to pop up from behind us like, whoa.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're going to pop up and go, look at this.
We got some boosts. We got, let's see, who we got? Oh, there we go. We've got Drev Scott. Striper boost 7777 through Podverse. He says, pre-show boost. I just realized that.
I just read that one.
Yeah. Wait, how did you get? Oh, you're reading from the. You're reading.
I have a 1% split.
You got me.
You did
the reach around.
That's Mike. I'm known for it.
That's what you're known for. Mike Dell, 1701. That's a Star Trek boost through Castomatic. There we go. Castomatic says, testing my new Albi hub. Way more trouble than it should be. Ha!
quite easy for me, actually. I like
there's
it.
A discrepancy here because Franco said it was no problem, but Mike says it was a big problem. So
yes. We've got and, Chad F just boosted 3333. Great hearing Franco on the show. Castomatic is a top tier PC 2.0 app, and he boosted from Castomatic. And I can reply because Castomatic supports that. So I'll say nice. Thanks.
Thanks. Nothing to test.
I hope this boost finds you well.
The ugly quacking duck. That's Bruce. 2222, the podcast guru. He says, thank you both. Power to the podcast.
73s.
And N9UQD, the ugly quacking duck.
Oh, 73s. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie.
That sounds suspiciously like a vanity call sign.
That is ACC, like. Adam Clark Curry. Yes, I would say so.
Brian Intsminger, 1653 Sats, the podcast guru. Brian says, maybe I misunderstood, but if you're trying to calculate global audience size, I don't think you can take median downloads times number of active shows to get listener count. You'll get something closer to downloads per month, but many people like me listen to multiple shows on a regular basis, so I would expect actual listener count to be lower.
Well, that may be in response to what we were talking about with No Agenda from OP3 on the last show. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't put any value to any of this, but I feel if I'm just looking it up now, if I look at the OP3, it says unique audience. I'll just use that number. You know, as long as everyone's using the number, who cares? It's all fuzzy. So I'm not sure other than that. Like, you know, so that's just the unique audience and I'm sticking to it.
Franco, are you still podcasting?
Yeah. Yeah. Digitalia is my podcast.
Digitalia. That's right.
Digitalia. Yes. It's all in Italian, of course, but.
You've been going for many years, right?
Oh, it's 16. And before that, it was Rockcast Italia.
Nice.
5 years before that, yes.
Wow. How many episodes?
Right now, Digitalia is 778.
Ah, congratulations. Thank Staying you. Power.
Yeah.
Comic strip blogger, 14145, delimiter through Fountain this time. He says, howdy, Adam and Dave. Today, I'd like to recommend a podcast. The Audacity to Podcast, that's celebrating its 15th birthday with an introspective episode entitled 15 Regrets from 15 Years of Professional Podcasting. And you can't believe what item 8 is, a banger that can make you a millionaire quickly.
Mm.
For shizzle, don't miss number 8, bros.
Oh.
No joke.
Oh.
So visit www.theaudacitytopodcast.com or search for The Audacity to Podcast in apps. Yo, CSB.
I think that's on your stream, isn't it?
I've got the future. Future podcasting. Yeah.
I bump into that from time to time. Like, oh, that's a pretty good show.
Mm-hmm. And see, we got some monthlies. We got, thank you, CSB. We got New Media Productions. That's Todd over there. $30.
Thank you, Todd.
And we got Timothy Voice, $10. Michael Hall, $5.50. Jeremy Gertz, $5. Gene Liverman. Hey, Gene, that's $5. And Oystein Berha, $5.
Oystein Berg, of course, will be on the stream right after we close down the boardroom. Thank you all very much for supporting us. Value for value is highly appreciated. Every dollar, every sat goes right into the podcastindex.org kitty. And we save it there for a rainy day so that we can keep everything running. It's all 100% for podcastindex.org. You can go to that website, podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. There's a big red donate button if you want to send us some fiat fund coupons in the form of PayPal. And of course, we always accept your boostergrams, your streaming sats. And if you want to send us a Bitcoin or two, no problem. On-chain, welcome. Always welcome. Then,
you're gonna need a Bitcoin.
You're gonna need a Bitcoin, that's for sure. Franco, so good to have you on in the boardroom again, brother. Really appreciate what you've been doing for podcasting, especially in Italy. You were there way before everyone got all jitty about Spotify, podcasting, yeah. Spotify. And of course for Castomatic, brother. It's really, really good to have you in the band.
Thank you. Castomatic wouldn't be what it is now without all the you all, the both of you, and all of podcasting 2.0 people on the social. And so, thank you, everybody, and thank you for everybody that runs the beta and has their lives, their podcasting lives, destroyed by bugs. Sometimes, you know,
that's what betas are for, man.
Yes.
Is it out? Is it in the App Store yet or still in beta?
No, it's in the app since 1 hour ago.
Oh, okay. Great. Aguri. Yeah. There we go.
You know, I always have mixed feelings because I run the beta. I go back and forth between the test flight beta and the App Store version because when I'm in the test, even though I'm a premium subscriber to Castomatic, when I'm in the test flight, it tells me that I'm not, and it bothers me so much that sometimes I have to go back.
It's difficult to avoid that, yes, because Apple makes the subscriptions on the test flight version expire every 2 hours to test that. So you can subscribe to Castomatic the paid version in the test flight version. It doesn't take any money from your credit cards. It works. And it expires after a couple of hours. So it's really
If it worked, I would have subscribed twice because I would like you to get paid twice. Anybody who uses Castomatic, be sure and do premium. And that goes for all
podcast apps. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Support your developers. Thank you very much, Franco. Thank you, Dave. Are you going into the woods again this weekend?
No, not in the woods this weekend. That's coming up. But I will be sending Podbean tokens shortly after the show.
Woo! Okay. And make sure you don't hang up yet, Dave. I want to know who it is. You'll share it with me, I'm sure.
Okay. All right,
Boardroom. Thank you all very much. This was a... there we go. We closed the board meeting. Thank you for being here. I don't want that. There we go. This is all we wanted. We will be back next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. See you all there. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
I just love this show. So sexy.